musicians going because of receipts. And as Brother Daniel said, it's good to be back with you. We missed you while we were gone, and just want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And I think at the end of the service this morning, Brother Daniel's going to just give you a little bit of a report. We thought it'd be better just to go ahead and tell you about the trip now before Brother Daniel leaves for Honduras this week. So we're just going to spend a little time at the end of the service to cover that with you, but I can tell you, Saints, it was a wonderful trip. There was nothing anywhere that went wrong. It was a perfect trip.
Amen.
And I was telling Brother Tim, I said, the Lord met us there in a greater capacity than I was expecting. And so if that's a fault on my part, forgive me, Lord, you forgive me. But I mean, I believed he was going to be on it, but I didn't realize just he touched every aspect of everything, even little things. And so we are happy that he did that, and he moved and met us there. Brother Daniel's going to tell you a little bit about that, and I may say a few things also, but it's good to be back with you. And we want to keep pressing on. And I just want you to remember the prayer requests that were given, and just remember Brother Daniel on his trip. Remember Sister Crystal. You know that I'm pretty sure that Satan is trying to hammer her in her mental capacity, but we defy him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Not that we're great, but we do have authority.
Yeah.
Brother Graham said we did. And you know what, Saints? If our faith and just trusting God and putting it in his hand don't work, nothing will.
Yeah.
Right? But it works. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do. We want to put it all in his hands. And when one of us suffers, we all suffer. And when one of us has victory, we all have victory.
That's right. Yeah.
And if I can promote that mindset in you, the greater that can be in your mind, and you can live that, the more victory we'll all have together as a group. And so we want to just remember that. And those in prayer, I wanted to tell you we've got a meeting scheduled with Brother Benjamin Norrod. We may have a Thursday night kickoff. I don't know. That's up in the air. But it'd be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It'd be May the 30th, 31st, and June 1st. So please mark a calendar. We're counting this as our first annual meetings. Brother Tim has made a Facebook page for that so we can advertise it. I'd like to send out some flyers. So if I could get someone to volunteer to maybe work up and help us come up with a flyer to send out. There's some of you that are computer savvy and know how to do those things. We'd like to send a flyer out and just invite some of the other churches, some of the other saints, and to be in fellowship with them. And so that'll be what we trust will be a tremendous weekend. Also, Bartlesville Tabernacle is having their annual men's breakfast service. It's a service, it's a breakfast, it's a service, and after service it's question and answers, and it's not just for ministers, it's for all the brothers that want to come. And that's on May 3rd. And so any brothers in the church that would like to go to that, we want to make arrangements so you can go. It's a really good time of fellowship for the brothers. And I think the sisters, if they went, they could probably fellowship with the sisters. They'd probably go do something else. I don't know what all they did, Brother. Do you remember last year what they did, Brother Daniel?
They went to another room.
And I think they might have even went shopping or something. I don't know, but at some point throughout the day. But it'll pretty much take up the whole day. You have to leave pretty early to get there. And then by the time the service is done, they usually wind up eating lunch, and then you have to travel back, and it's a 3-hour drive. But we want as many brothers that would like to go to that. It will be a time of refreshing for you, and that's what we want. So we just want to invite you to that. And the sisters that want to go, we want to let them know ahead of time what's coming. So if we're going to do that, let's just make sure. And that's the church that Brother Jason Solis is one of the ministers there. Also, we want to take a request of the Lord in prayer in just a moment or two. Sister Claire had given this request there a few minutes ago, and it's for a sister-in-law who's been having strokes. I think she's had probably about 5 of them. She's got blindness in one eye, paralyzed, and she's in her 40s. Mm-hmm. So I think this would be a good time for us to just ask God to show his power upon the request. And I believe God is interested in what's on our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just bow our hearts to him as we open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to tell you, Lord, that we love you.
Yes.
We thank you for making a way for us, Lord. God, that even way back before time began, that you made provisions for us in this hour. Lord, that we could be a people that would be nourished up and fed like calves in the stall. And Lord, that we would be a people that would be to your glory and to your name. And you'd work among us, Lord. You'd work great things, wonderful things, miraculous things. Lord, we accept those benefits that you have purchased for us, so that you have set our way in this hour. And Lord, we want to ask as your bride, as members of your bride, we want to ask for this request, just declare as given. Lord, I know not this person's name, but Lord, just in her 40s, Satan has really thrown a curveball at her. And Lord, we believe the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to go to this need. Lord, to touch her, to raise her up, to heal her, to stop what Satan has done in her life, and bring joy and peace to that family. We ask, God, that you would do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Go and reverse that situation, Lord, and make it different. Lord, we know in ourselves we have no power, but God, your prophet tells us we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would move upon this request. We pray that you bless Brother Daniel, bless Sister Crystal, the different ones that have the request that was given this morning. Lord, we just call the name of Jesus Christ over each one. And believe, Lord, that you will take these into your hands and move upon them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry to keep you standing. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We can start reading verse 1. So they just come out of the Exodus, out of Egypt. Verse 1, it says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mount, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let's bow our heads one more time. Lord, this is your word. And Lord, we realize that laying beneath here is eternal power, eternal attributes that you give to your people through your word. Lord, we want to confess to you this morning that a mortal man is not able to quicken this word to the hearts of your people, but only you. And Lord, we just want you to use us this morning as instruments, Lord, to speak and to receive the eternal words, Lord, that you have sent our way. God, it would have caused us to be what you had purposed for us to be in this hour. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this great opportunity to be in your house, to be with your saints, to be in your presence today. And we thank you, ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, years ago, I don't know, back when we had a television years ago, where it was a commercial, and you may have heard me mention this before, but they used to have a commercial about the Snickers candy bar. And they would they'd chop that candy bar up, and they said, no matter how you slice it, it always comes up peanuts. How many remember that? No matter how you slice it, the Word of God is here to tell you what you can be in this day. Yeah. And I'll tell you, if the Word of God, we're going to be talking about eagles this morning, and I'm going to title this The Time of the Eagles. But if the Word of God says we're eagles, then that's what we are.
Yeah.
And if the Word of God said, you know what, if the Word said, in the last days, you'll be like unto a worm. And by being like that worm, you'll have victory over the world. Then you know what? Then we would be exactly what the word says. I know that I said that to be ridiculous, but I just want you to understand that we are exactly what God says. And as soon as we can rise up into that, into the revelation of what He's given us on these things, we live by the Word of God, every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And when we rise up in that, we become more victorious in it. And so we're going to talk about eagles this morning. We find here in the Scriptures that God spoke to the children of Israel, and He had just obliterated Egypt. And then, how many remember all the plagues and all the things that had happened? And Egypt was absolutely laying wasted. I don't know how long it took them to recover, but there wasn't much to recover from if you go back and look at all the things that happened to them. And so you find out that God had come down and taken Israel and brought them out of the that grip of the strongest nation on earth at the time and the greatest king and the greatest form of bondage that you know they could possibly be in the physical was right there serving Pharaoh, building his cities. That's the way Satan is. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to be in bondage for him so that you build his cities, you build things up to promote his kingdom. And so God had come down and took the children of Israel out of Egypt and was bringing them to himself. And so in bringing them to himself, they get here to Mount Sinai, and they pitch there, and God speaks to Moses, says, come up here. He comes up, and he calls him, and he said, I want you to go down there, and I want you to tell the children of Israel that you have seen how that I bear you up on eagle's wings. You see what I just did to the Egyptians for you, to bring you to myself, because God had a desire for Israel to be a peculiar people, as we just saw there, a holy nation, and we could go ahead and just and give more words to describe that if we wanted to, but He wanted them to be a holy people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people that's different. And God actually used the term there. He said, you'll be a treasure unto me. You'll be a treasure unto me, and you'll be greater than all the other nations of the world. He said, because the whole world is mine. How many believes that? The whole world. Amen. I know that it's under Satan's control right now, but God is, it's all underneath His program. Amen. And so what I'm saying is God could do whatever He wanted. God could go out here, and if He wanted to cause the Baptists to rise up to be the cream of the crop of the day, He could do that if He wanted to, and leave you and I sitting in the dust. So He says, the whole world's mine. I do whatever I want with the world. But I've chosen you. And I have delivered you from bondage so that you could be a people that would be holy and that you would be a representation for me in this world above all the rest, that you'll be a treasure unto me. How many wants to be a treasure to the Lord Jesus Christ, a trophy of His grace? We want to be that. And He said, I brought you out and you see how I did this. I bore you on eagle's wings. I went right down into the midst of Egypt, and I went right in there, and on the wings, and we understand it meaning a prophet. He used Moses to do it, but he said, I went there, and I just picked you up, and I carried you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. And I've done this that you might be a people that would be holy, that would be peculiar. And so you see, God did that using the analogy of an eagle. And God has committed a lot of things to us today under an eagle age. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You find out that God created animals, all kinds of them, but He created some animals in such a way that He could show with that animal what He was going to do with His people later on. I don't believe that God come along and said, well, after the fact, after He created all the different animals, I don't think He come along and said, well, I want to do a certain thing with my people. I got to go find an animal that'll work. I don't believe that. I believe God, before the world was, He, with His infinite thinking, He knew what He was going to do. And I believe that when He said, you know, there's going to be a time that I'm going to put an anointing on my church right after Apostle Paul in his days, I'm going to put an anointing on them, and it's going to have a certain characteristics. And I'm going to go ahead right now, before I get there, I'm going to go ahead and create and place in the earth the animals and the things that I'm going to type with. I'm going to do it now because I already know what I'm going to do later on. Right. And so He comes along and He puts an anointing on the church in different ages and uses the animals to represent different things. So He did that because He has control of all things. He has a revelation. He has an understanding and a plan that becomes a revelation to you and I.
And so he does that, and one of those animals, one of those birds, we call it animals, but it's a bird. It is an eagle, and the characteristic of an eagle will show us, if we look at it, will show us God's nature. It will show us the nature of his children as eagles, his children. And it will also show us the way God deals with us. Because he called Israel's attention there, and he called their attention to that and said, you see what I did. You see how that I delivered you, and I did it on the wings of an eagle. And so the characteristics of an eagle will show these different things that we want to talk about. And so let's just contrast it and talk about it just for a minute, some of the other animals. We find out that it actually goes all the way back at the beginning. But you find out that the New Testament church was to have four anointings upon them, the lion, the calf, and a man, the spirit of a man, the wisdom of a man, and then, of course, the last one being an eagle. We know that. It's something we've looked at for many times. But you see, you find out that the characteristic of a lion, to be the king and to go out in power and all the things that God wanted to show the early church, he did that through the lion. The sacrifice of the church later on is the calf. The intelligence of a man to create the printing machines to print the Bibles and to match wit with wit was another age, just brought us right up into the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the last one being the eagle, which is actually present with us now. You find out he did all those things, but you see God way back there. Long before there was ever a New Testament, God knew he was going to use that lion as an image,
right,
and as an anointing. He knew he was going to use the calf or an ox. He knew he would have that one as a face of man. He knew he would have an eagle. So all the way back, the cherubims, these cherubims had these faces on them, and you find it in the Old Testament all the way back there early in the Bible. You find out that when the children of Israel pitched their tents, according to the way God had told them, they set up the tabernacle and they pitched their tents all around. And you find out that they had three tribes on one side, three on another, three on another, three on another. And each set on each side had a banner that they had lifted up, a symbol. And that symbol was a lion, ox, man, and eagle. And you find out, you come over, that's really Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God's got witnesses. They all had those. They had their Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had ring signets, and that you can they would seal things with just like anybody else. Everybody had one. It was lion, ox, man, eagle. That's what they had on there. So a lot of these things Brother Branham brought out. Some of them you can find out in history, but you find out that God always had guards to the mercy seat. So he put that tabernacle in the middle, and he put these four areas of tribes around the side, and they each had their banner. And so nobody could get into that mercy seat. Nobody could come in. An intruder could not get to that presence of God unless they come through one of those four anointings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For one of those four beasts.
Yep.
And so they each represent different ages. So lion, ox, man. And so we find out that Brother Branham comes along and tells us that God has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they told the story of the gospel. And if you've got to come through that to get to the book of Acts, where the presence of God was in his church performing what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
So the book of Acts was the proof of that Holy Ghost right in the midst of his people. And before you can be partakers of that baptism, of that power of God, you've got to come through the story that was told, the record that was told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You had to come through that to get in there. You also find that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each had different characteristics about them.
Right.
And the one that very clearly sticks out most likely, that you can see very quickly as being the most prophetic, was John. And John's the one that types the bride. And he's the one that was the eagle. And he's the one that types the bride today. Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
So you find out that those, you know, like Luke was a physician. Luke was a smart man. You find out his account's a little more detailed, like what someone like that of that kind of a thinking would have had. So he was under the man. He had the man anointing or anointing upon him. And so I'm just kind of covering these other ones to show you the God had these different images and things, and he went way back in the Old Testament, put those things in place because he knew he was going to use them later on. And so if the early church had an anointing of a lion upon him, then that's just all they could do. Because a church can never be anything except what God anoints him to be.
That's right.
You can't be something he's not anointed you to be. And so I'll tell you right now, God's not anointed you to be a lion so much. He hasn't anointed you to be a sacrifice so much because it's not required this day. But what he's not really wanting you to have the intellect of man so much. But what he does want you to have today is the anointing of the eagle, or the anointing that's tied by the eagle.
Man.
And so those four anointings there. Now, you'll find out, and I know I'm covering a lot of things you probably already know, but just to bring to remembrance till you get where we want to go with this. You find out that there was, through the New Testament church, there was the work of the Antichrist, which really started a long time ago, but it was really coming into power in the New Testament. And you find out the Antichrist went forth with four horse riders. And in the opening of the seals, you'll see that each one of those beasts, of those four that we just mentioned, each one of those had a job to go and meet the challenge of that horse rider. And so the first horse that was to come, which was going to be that white horse, and all they thought it was Christ, but it wasn't. And it wasn't really manifest it was not Christ until he got off that horse and he got on the red one and began to take a sword and to destroy and do those things. But you see, it took today's revelation to see that. But though that first horse rider went forth, that first anointing introduced that seal, went to meet the challenge of that seal. And that's just showing you that in that early church, when that Antichrist spirit began to move, began to create the Nicolaitan spirit, began to conquer the laity, began to move into popes and all that kind of thing, and getting off the Word of God. When that was going forth, God had an anointing on the church to challenge that move in that day. And that anointing that was upon the church was like the lion, to combat against that particular horse rider. You find out that whenever that in that hour, that as Satan begins to move and advance on the church, then the church would have to put up some sort of opposition. And if I was going to fight with one of you brothers, if we were going to fight, and Lord forbid that I'd use this as an example, but if we were and I just bare-fisted, well then bare-fisted is probably all you'd need to do, because I probably wouldn't win anyway. But you see, but if I had a knife in my hand, bare-fisted would not be the way for you to meet that challenge, right?
Right.
So you've got to meet your enemy with something that's comparable, something that can meet that challenge and get the job done and defeat your enemy like that. Well, you see, so God had in his program when that Antichrist spirit went forth in the first early church, God had something that he said in his mind, in his thinking, I know exactly what to put upon my church, what kind of anointing to put upon them that can meet this challenge of what this Spirit's doing.
Yeah. Right.
Right? And so he put upon the church the anointing of the lion. And it was represented all through the Bible. So we know what it was. And you know, I've never heard this stuff outside of the message. They didn't talk about this stuff out there in the denominational world. Never heard it.
No.
But this is all part of the revelation that would come to you and I, so you and I could know who we are and right exactly what's going on. And so then that made way, and the Antichrist spirit moved on and became, he got crowned, got power, began to martyr. And that was, of course, the second horse rider. He was red, had the sword, and went out and began to kill. Well, God said to himself, I know exactly what to put up on my church to meet that challenge. The Antichrist system had moved from being deception. It actually had gained power. It had originally just had a bow, but didn't have arrows. But it finally got to a place where it was given power. It was given a sword, and it was given the ability to do what he wanted to do back there when he was a white horse, but he didn't have power to do it.
Right.
Well, now he's given power to do it. So now he'd go forth with his sword, with his authority, and begin to conquer and slay people by the millions to make them. And God said, you know what? And remember, how many of you remember Brother Branham saying that The guy said, the God that would sit back and watch all them people be martyred and all that, and just sit with his arms across his tummy and just watch it happen, not do nothing about it. Brother Bam said, see, the man's not spiritual. He don't understand. That seed had to go into the ground and die first before it could come forth into a harvest. And so that's what was happening. So God said, you know what? It may not be the thinking of man, how they would think I would challenge it, but God said, I'm going to challenge this second horse rider with a spirit I'm going to put on my church is to cause them to sacrifice, be a sacrifice to me.
Right.
So this church, like a seed, was going to go down into the ground and be destroyed, looked like. But what it was, God was planting that gospel knowing that it would come forth in a greater number later. And so he put upon his church in that second hour that anointing of a calf or an ox to be a beast of burden to bear that sacrifice, to where that people were, you and I would probably run from it. Those people embraced the opportunity to give their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was an anointing that was upon them that caused that. And that anointing was ever present. Just like right now, we know that if anybody would give the right attitude, the right response to God right now, immediately he would usher them into the very presence of the Word and the revelation that you and I get to enjoy so much.
Yeah.
I don't care who they are, Catholic, Buddha, whatever. If they could give their heart over to God, he would usher them right. Why? He would anoint them with the present anointing of the hour.
Yeah.
And they'd be able to be what he wants his people to be in this hour, because he's going to anoint them and equip them to be so. And so you find out that that's what God did. He put that anointing upon those people in that day to give their lives. And it was an honor. You might stand back and say it wasn't, but you let that anointing come upon you and you'd happily give your lives for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
See? So because the anointing makes the difference. And that was under the calf. You find out later on when God got ready to bring the restoration and began to bring the church back to the Word, because the Catholic Church had gotten it almost completely under their control. It hadn't been for some men who fought throughout the years and ages to do it. We wouldn't have a Bible that was in English. We wouldn't have truth. It'd all be locked away under the Catholic Church. But God had men throughout all ages. You can go onto YouTube, and there's a video called The Forbidden Book. And it's about the men throughout the ages who underground copied and took the Bible and translated it and brought it so you and I could have it today. And they suffered greatly for it. Lots of people, a lot of things that they went through. But they did it for the gospel. You can probably order it somewhere else. You can probably order it online. I don't know. But it's called The Forbidden Book. And that's what it's about. What's that?
I've got it.
Okay. Brother David's got it? Okay. So it's really a good one to watch if you want to see the history. And then you take that and look at it right along through all the ages of what we realize the seals and the horse riders were doing. And you can say, you know what? This is a bloody gospel. It is. But thank God somebody put their... And what was it? God had put it in their hearts to do that, to stand there and defy those. And many of them, like I said, were martyred and tortured and everything else. But it was to get that gospel over here to you now.
Yeah.
And so we find out that God put, when it comes time for the restoration, to bring his people back to the truth, we find out that God had put an anointing upon his church, and it started with Martin Luther. And he brought the restoration. And it was where man could, like I said earlier, could create the printing press, and they could do things. It gave people like Luther the wit with writings and with speeches and things to match anything the Catholic Church wanted to do. When they would want to move and do something like that, they could stand there and resist it, and had such wisdom and in a man's thinking, that they could actually hold that Catholic Church and keep them from doing what they really wanted to do, or continue to do what they wanted to do. It was a resistance God put against that, because he was bringing a restoration, and that anointing that was as a man. God could have chose anything he wanted, but it just happened to be that was the man, the wisdom of man at that time, and it worked great.
Yeah.
It worked wonderful. And so that's how these feasts were meeting the challenge of each one of these horse riders. White horse, the deceiver, red horse, going out and taking peace from the earth and destroying. And the black horse, got everybody all bound up in his system where they had to pay for the bread of life. And then it moved into what the scripture said was a pale horse. And the beast that met that challenge was the one that had the eagle. Like the eagle. That was the one that met the challenge of that last horse rider. And the last horse rider, you find out that it wasn't under the first, second, or third horse rider. He wasn't given a name. He didn't have a name. Or, you know, it wasn't revealed. But you'll find out under the fourth horse rider, he actually was given a name, and it was called Death. And the reason why that began to come forth now was because the anointing that was upon the church to meet that challenge in that hour was prophetic, was an eagle with the characteristics of an eagle. And so there was a prophet on the scene, and that prophet could look back and see what it was and actually tell you, his name is Death. He could have been called that way back there because that was his agenda, to destroy the church when he was a black horse, when he was red horse, or a pale horse, or the white horse. But now he's pale. And so his purpose was to destroy all along, and a prophet steps on the scene, identifies that one, and says he's Death, and hell follows him. And so it's because of the advantage. You couldn't do that under the first, second, or third. It could only happen under the last one, which was under the lion, or under the eagle anointing. And so you understand how that's, I just went through that to contrast the lion, the ox or calf, the man and eagle with the four horse riders. So now, let's get to the eagle. Eagles can do a lot of things that others can't. We know a lot of things that I know you're familiar with, but they can fly far above any of the danger. If you look at the lion, the ox, the man, they're all earthbound. All they can get, only high they can get is how high they can climb and how high they can jump.
Yeah.
But they can't fly. And so you realize that when God come over here to the last one and he said the last one is going to be like an eagle, then the characteristic that he knows that eagle has, he's applying those characteristics to you and I, to a church in this hour. And so saints, I know it's the world and the system and the world is made in such a way so that you can't, to try and keep you from catching this. But you have to realize that in God's economy, in this day, you and I have been given an ability that no other age had.
Right.
Because the eagle can fly and all the rest can't. So we, and like I said in the beginning, if God said we're an eagle and that's where the victory is, and saints, that's where we'll be. That's what we are. That's what we must begin to understand. So you and I possess, whether you know what it is you possess right now or not, you do. You possess something that other churches prior to us, other ages prior to us, did not have. What they didn't have in that first church age or first under that first horse rider, what they didn't have. When they were being martyred, there's something God has given you and I that they didn't have. What Luther didn't have, Wesley didn't have, and I'll even tell you this, what William Branham didn't have while he was still in man age before the eagle began to fly. God has given you and I something, so we are eagles. How many will raise your hands? I'm an eagle.
Amen.
And I possess something, whether I understand it right now or not, I possess something that makes me different than all the other ages. Just like he said to the when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said to make you a peculiar people, make you a different people, and he said, I bore you on eagle's wings. He's speaking to them as eaglets. He's the great eagle. Brother Branham tells us how that God likened himself as eagles, his prophets as eagles, and we are his eaglets. And so because an eagle, what will an eagle bear on their wings from danger? Eaglets. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'll just put two and two together. So everybody in the picture here except Egypt was eagles. Papa eagle, a prophet eagle, and his children that he brought to safety. And so you find out that's how it is. So the eagle can fly high, it can fly above danger. No other one could do that. He could see further than all the rest of them. Of course, if God wanted you to get really high and fly really high, what good would it do you if you couldn't see once you got there?
Right.
Amen.
So you see, God's not a dummy. So if he gives you wings to fly, he also gives you vision to see.
Right.
So that when he gets you up there, you'll be able to see something.
Right.
You'll be able to see. And what? This whole thing gives you advantage that the rest didn't have. Whereas the lion, if there was terror and something dangerous on the earth, all he could do is run, and if he gets wore out where he can't run anymore, now that terror can get him. Same way with the man, same way with the calf. So you realize that God is telling us when he puts that anointing of the eagle on the church in the last day, he's putting something on you and I that nobody's ever had before, and that something is going to give us the ability to rise up in a way that no other people's ever been able to rise up, and to be able to see in a way that no other people's ever been able to see, unless it was prophets or God himself. Is this what the Word says?
Yeah.
Is this what it says, that God has come in this age to impart to you and I an anointing to make you and I this way? And so we must believe that and we must go with it. You say, I don't feel like it. When I get up on Monday morning, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I thank you for making me an eagle.
Yes.
I thank you for giving me eyesight. I thank you for making me into someone who can rise up above the terror of this age, and I can soar in safety right up there and be just like you, my Father, eagle.
Yes.
Just say it. You know, thank you, Lord, when you get up. Begin to confess it. Begin to praise him and watch him come and inhabit your presence. And so, no other animal could do that, even of the birds. No predator. I know that there's probably some predators that can try to pursue after an eagle, but really, when that eagle kicks himself in full gear to be full-fledged eagle, ain't nobody going to touch him.
Right?
Nobody's going to touch you, saints. As soon as we can arm ourselves with this promise of God, nobody, nothing, no evil spirit, no nothing is going to touch you when that happens.
Amen.
And God has come down and hand delivered it. Just like he came to Egypt, he come right down there. They couldn't help themselves. They'd still be there today if God hadn't come there and brought them out.
Amen.
But he came to them because it was his choice to make them a peculiar people, a people that would be a treasure. And saints, it's the same way today. If God hadn't come in this day, we'd still be right out there doing the things we were in, bound to the systems of the world or whatever we've been raised under, would be right there. But he has a choice where he wanted to come and select a people out of all the nations of the world, out of all the peoples of the world, out of all the churches of the world. He had a people he wanted to come and had select and deliver you, bear you on eagle's wings.
Amen.
God coming down in a prophet, bearing up his eaglets and taking them into a place of sanctuary, bringing them to be full mature eagles. And that's what he did. And he wanted to do that. Why? So we would be a treasure to him.
Right.
A glory to him.
Right.
Where nobody else in the earth could be. Right. Only because he brought you and I to that place. And nobody's going to touch us in that. Because he's done it. The time of the eagle didn't start until 1963. Even Brother Branham, in himself, he was a prophet, he was an eagle, and all through his life, when God would speak to him, he could speak like an eagle. But when God wasn't speaking to him like an eagle, he had to speak like a man. And that's why you find out that when Brother Branham came to the seals, he was trusting in God, believing God was going to give him the revelation of those things. But if you go listen to himself, he said, I went into the room to pray, and I thought, well, you know, and I went back and I went over the things that from years ago, and he said, I'll just put it down like that. Why? Because he was taking the man's wisdom approach. He was, for that moment, because that age hadn't really kicked off yet, even though it was a blending, you find out he was just trying to do it until God came to the room, until that angel of the Lord came in the room, and then it changed everything. And then he put away the man thinking and became eagle thinking, right? Begin to speak and act like an eagle. And so what I want to show you, there being that it happened in 1963, when that really began to move, you can see right there that when that happened, now God is dealing with his church as eagles. They are eagles. They have that anointing upon them. He's going to deal with them as eagles because he Papa, Mama Eagle, whichever way you want to say it. I don't know which one does what because I didn't go to study that. But as a parent eagle, we're eaglets. And so now he's beginning to deal with us like eagles. And it'll be just like it was then. He's come to do that, to bear us, to take us out into a place of safety, cause us to fly. And so that's what he's done, to bear us on eagle's wing. And so I'm saying that because now we know where to look. We know where to look for this rapturing faith. What's going to bring us up into eagle flight. We know what to look for. And it's not pre-1963. And I'm not talking about Brother Branham. I'm talking about church world. We know not that it's not back there. Because if the Pentecostals had it, they'd have raptured in 1906. It didn't happen. If Luther happened, it would have happened way back when. Wesley, whatever. So it wasn't in that. The rapturing faith wasn't in that. That's why Brother Murray had to come along and say, rapturing faith's laying on those tapes right there.
Yeah.
What? It's embedded in that message for the Holy Spirit to quicken to you and I after Brother Branham's gone.
Right.
It's laying there, and so we understand that we're not going to get it from some guy by the last name Dobson.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It's not on a talk show. It's not anywhere else. It's coming from a quickened word that was delivered to you and I that came in this day and started in 1963 for sure, really kicking forth then. I know that the Lord was doing things with Brother Branham prior to that that are part of that opening and part of that movement. But I want to show you there that there was a transition that God quit dealing with the church and the intellect of man, even in Pentecostal age. Even with speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, those churches were still operating underneath the thinking of a man.
Yeah.
Because, Brother Rand put it this way, to denominate in a man's thinking, to nominate, that's the thing to do. We got to protect ourselves. We got to get ourselves together and make something that we can, you know, make a city for ourselves and have a name to it and we can be established so nobody's going to come and take us over or something like that. This is a natural thing for a man to do. And so, but you see, God has an anointing he wanted to bring to his church. It was that of an eagle. So we know where to look, and we find out that it comes from that revelation that God has given in this hour, that what he come down on the wings of an eagle and delivered to you and I. That's where it comes from. And that in itself translates into a life that you and I can live. What good would it do for Brother Branham to come along and God to come down and do the things he's done in this hour if it didn't really truly quicken you and I and put us out there in the air soaring?
Yeah, amen.
Right? So it translates, God has come to empower you to be eagles. He has come so that you could look on these things, dwell on these things, and that revelation could come into you and change you that the mechanics of the word would eventually at some point become dynamics and you would be quickened ultimately in body change and rapture. And so that's what it's all about. It's come to translate into a life that we can live. Not just mere words on books, not just mere words spoken over a pulpit, but actually something that can take place in your life and make you live high above the rest of the earth and their ways. And so the eagle nature tells us, looking at the eagle, looking that God's doing this, then we can look at his nature and it tells us what to expect in our day.
Yeah.
This whole thing tells us that there is a time of trouble that God wants us to be able to be escaped. He wants to bear us on eagle's wings and take us out of bondage. We know that's what it says. So it tells us that we have a day where we must leave the earth. Right? Now let's go back and think about it just for a minute. The lion, and the ox, and the man, and I'm going to put them all together and say pre-1963 church teaching, pre-1963 church activity, pre-1963 whatever you want to put in there of the church world, right? That's earthbound. And God's answer to what's fixing to happen now, what the Antichrist spirit is doing now, is to anoint his church with the ability to leave that to leave all the confines that was ever so present in all the church world back then, and all the things that was you could find anywhere, to leave that and rise up in something greater than that. And that's why it's an eagle anointing, is to get us away from those earthbound religions. Get us away from the earthbound mentalities. When it comes time and you're sick and you need healing, to get away from the earthbound ideas that would keep you right there and to get you to where you can soar up in the heavens with God, into the heavens of the Word. And so, it's a day where the answer, like in the Day of Martyrs, the answer wasn't to continue to be a lion and roar at them people. Not in that day when he's got authority and now he's got a sword because he just cut the lion's head off. The answer in that day was for it to be an ox, to be a calf, to be a sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? Right. And so God's answer today is the eagle anointing. That's all. That's just how it is. And with that means he equips you and I to be different, and we rise up from above everything else that was there earthbound under the first three animals there, of lion, ox, and then man. He just wants us to come up and rise higher. So it tells us what kind of day we live in. It tells us what to expect. If we want to look out and see a picnic out there, you're in the wrong age.
Yeah.
Because it's not so. It tells us that we are in an age where God is calling us and saying, you must rise up above these things because you can no longer stay under those earthbound anointings. You've got to come higher. It tells us what we're capable of. Think about it. The Word says you and I can fly. The Word said God has come down and given us something that would make us fly. That He had actually caused us to be born out of this wicked world on eagle's wings. So we have the ability. It shows us the capability we have. And it also shows us how God deals with us. I say that because I mentioned here the other day that as long as we're comfortable in this world, we will not be sighing and crying for God to come get us. It won't happen. And so God knows, it's like that mama eagle. I made the statement of today. She knows that if you stay in that nest, you're going to die. She knows that she's got to make that eagle doesn't want to get out of the nest. Maybe, I don't know if it's afraid, I don't know what it is, but it's just right there. And it's all cushiony and stuffed with all kinds of feathers and all kinds of things. It's nice and smooth. But that mama eagle's got a responsibility to get that eaglet in the air.
Yeah.
She's got a responsibility to make that little one become like mama. And so there's several things she does, but one of the things that mama eagle does is she will stand there and stick out her wings and she'll begin to fan. And of course she's blowing all the stuff out of the nest and blowing loose feathers out of the little eaglet. And so what mama's doing is getting that eagle ready to fly. And at some point, to get it to where it realizes, you know what, it's better if I get out there where my fears are than to sit right back here.
Right.
And so that's what God will deal with us as a papa eagle. Yeah. Yes, now we're eagles. He's going to deal with us that way, right?
Right.
Everybody can agree that.
Yeah.
Well, then what is his purpose? To make you fly.
Amen.
Right.
Because you'll not live any other way until you fly and soar like papa eagle flies and soars. And so he comes down and he demonstrates it. That mama eagle stand there and fan her great big wings. And I can imagine that little fella hanging on, just about to blow him out of the nest because it's blowing feathers loose and everything's coming out. But I can imagine that even with him being that eagle and maybe not wanting to get out there, that he has a great admiration and wants to be like mama.
Yeah.
Look at those wings. Look at the power and the wind. That just, you know, I believe he's got something that's just inspired because we see that on display. We see that on display with our Heavenly Father. We see that on display in a prophetic ministry. How many want that kind of experience in your life?
Amen.
That kind of God in you.
Amen.
And that's what we want. Well, it's because you want that because it's there for you.
Right.
You want it, it's there for you, you can have it. And so that mama eagle, God come down and just fanned this church, this last stage, with the power of what we know of a spoken word ministry. And it is odd. Why? Now we want to be like that. We realize what our Papa Eagle is like. He's not a God of some yesterday that's a God of history, but he's alive and well today. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's here to do exactly what he said he would do. And he's here to live in me like that. And to live in you like that.
Right.
So we see that. That's what that mama even did. She just shows those things. And finally, but she has to also get all the stuffing out of the nest. And so everything that Mama or Papa Eagle, whichever one it is that's doing it, the everything that they do is the purpose is to get that eagle out of the nest of the world and in the air.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Mama Eagle knows that once that eaglet gets out there and learns to fly, then it'll be over with then.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be no problems after that. She knows that. And so God will deal with us like eagles. So you can expect God to stir up your nest.
Yep.
Now, he's already inspired us. We've seen the awesomeness of a ministry of God coming down and showing us what he can do. That's right.
Yeah.
He's done that. I don't know that he has to do that again, because we're already inspired and want to be like that. But I tell you, our biggest problem is getting out of the nest.
Right.
We don't want to be out of the nest, because there's a lot of fearful things there, but God's not the author of fear. And so all I know is that God knows how to stir up your nest. He knows how to pull out those things and make us to where we begin to say, you know what? I'm tired of being here. I want to be out there where God said I could be. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the thorns of this world that's here. Well, how many feel that way?
Amen.
Amen.
I do.
Yes.
Well, you're right on time, because God's dealing with you. And so we know what to expect. We know how he's going to deal with us. He's not going to baby us. He's not going to pack us on his wings forever. It don't work that way. You can't have Mama Eagle with four or five grown eaglets on its wings. It won't work. There's a time in your walk where God is going to put you out there and you're going to be like him in yourself. It'll be him in you, understand? But you will soar and he won't have to pack you around anymore. I know that sounds strange. I'm not saying we won't be under the grace of God and need his help. That's not what I'm saying. But he will live in you in such a way that you'll actually rise up with that gift of God in you, and you'll become a full-grown eagle flying and soaring, and you won't be earthbound anymore. So we know that's what is happening. He's going to stir our nest that way. As eagles, unlike all the rest of the lion, and the ox, and the man, all those people, when they have newborn, they feed their newborn milk. Baby lions drink milk from mama. Calves do the same thing. And the men do the same thing, but not eagles. Newborn eaglets eat meat. And we know the scriptures tell us, even into the New Testament there, that some of the people that couldn't handle the sternness of the word and the truth of the word, they were still drinking milk, Paul said. He said, I can't teach you things that are rich, because you're on the milk of the word.
Right.
But you know, he says, but strong, you know, meat is for those that are developing strong. You can't go out and drink a glass of milk and go out and dig post holes all day long. It won't work. That milk will last you about 10 minutes. But you can eat some meat. You can eat something that's got some strength to it, and you can go out there and do something with it.
Yeah.
And so that's the point I'm trying to get out there, is that though the lion, the ox, and the man, they have milk for their young, not the eagles. In other words, when someone's born in this eagle message today, they start out right off the bat eating strong meat. That the rest of the world is still on milk.
Mm-hmm.
So you can expect the believers of this assembly and the believers of this movement that God is doing in this hour, you can expect them to rejoice in and rally around the deep truths of the word that the rest of the world don't even want to touch. That's a characteristic. Is that not what we find in our walk? We had hunger for things that nobody else could tell us, and it was the revelations of the deep things of God. Why? Because you're eagle, and you have an appetite for an eagle.
Amen. Yeah.
You eat meat. You don't eat that stuff. It's like, you know, you want that something that can give you the strength to develop and that you can go and you can move on with. And so these are the characteristics. When you see that God deals with us as eagles, we have that appetite for it. We can fly higher than the rest. Amen?
Amen.
We can see further than the rest. Amen? Because that's what he said we could do. So we're eagles. He deals with us as eagles.
Right.
And we'll go through the pathway from beginning, from a newborn on up. We'll go through that pathway as eagles. One of the things that an eagle goes through is a molting period. And I'm not going to get all the details to that, but I'll tell you it's a serious time. And when the scriptures talk about an eagle renewing their youth, you see, the eagle gets to a place in his life, and I don't know what triggers and all that sort of thing, but he gets where he don't even fly. I think his feathers all come out. He goes to a complete, look like he's going to die. And really, literally, probably would if he didn't have help from some other eagles.
Yeah.
But he gets down, he's earthbound, he's down in the valley, he can't do nothing. And his beak gets all crusted over where he can't make a kill anymore. And he has to sit there and scrape that beak on rock. And he's having to go through the hardest time of his entire life that looks like he's just going to flat out die and would if he didn't have help from other eagles to come and bring him, drop pieces of meat to him and help him or whatever.
Yeah.
But you find out that in all that, he is renewing his youth. So each of us go through time. It's ordained for us to go through a time in our life where God has dealt with us. We know we're eagles. We know we're Christians. We have great successes in our spiritual walk. And then all of a sudden something happens. It may take years to come into it. But we come to a place where we realize, you know, my walk isn't what it was. And I know it should be more. And I know it can be more. And I'm not sure how to get it to be more.
Yep.
I mean, knows what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That's exactly the way it is. What is it? It's a molting. Listen, saint, that's not something to tell you you're not an eagle. That tells you you are an eagle.
Right.
Because you're struggling. Because if you didn't have something in you that wanted God, you wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
You'd be going elsewhere. But when you're in that struggle and you've got something, you say, I used to walk closer to God. I know it can be more. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know why I'm like this. But there's got to be something happening, and you just have to press on, and you got to strike that beak, and you got to renew yourself back to the place, to that strong young eagle that you were. And that's what an eagle does. They renew their youth. The scriptures talk about that. And so God will deal with us, and he'll work with us, and these pop eagles will drop meat to us. Our brothers and sisters who are eagles will drop meat to us. We'll help one another, but the point I'm getting at is through all that, we are renewed. And you cannot be renewed till you go through that.
That's right.
I wish I could tell you that you'll never have that time in your life, but I can't. Because to be an eagle, you've got to go through that.
Right.
And you find out that you won't know how to help somebody else going through their molting period until you've gone through yours. And when you've gone through that, then you'll know how, and you will help those who are going through theirs. God made him that way. I don't know. Ask him why he did it.
Yeah.
But you see, it all is an anointing, and it's all a pattern that comes down, and you and I are living it right now, whether we realize it to the full extent or not. And the sooner that we can identify and say, you know what, that's what I am eagle. And I might be going through molting right now, but I can see my identification as an eagle. I see God came down and he has fluttered them wings in front of me and stirred me up. And I want to be just like him. And I know that I need to get out of the nest of the world. I'm afraid to get out there, but I'm getting real uncomfortable. Or maybe you're even out there flying and you've got to the place where you're molting or whatever, wherever stage you're in. Well, you can see your identification in that word. And realize that's who you are, then you can have confidence in tomorrow, not in tomorrow, but in the God of tomorrow, to take you and keep you for what you are.
Amen.
Because you belong to him, and he'll not lose you. You're his eaglet, and he'll take you through. And so you're ordained to go through that. And you cannot be renewed until you do go through that. Only afterwards will you be able to help others. And of course, as eagles, we have little eaglets of our own that we have to train and teach. And I found out it becomes more and more true to me that whether it's a guy you work with, whether it's your family, your friends, whatever, it's the life you live. Makes more difference than anything you'll ever say.
That's right.
That's right. And I'm not saying that there's a lot of people out there, and I'm not saying they haven't lived good lives. What I'm saying is that they have put more confidence in what they tried to tell their children and tell their people and tell their co-workers. They put more confidence in that, trying to tell them and preach that gospel to them the best they know how, rather than making sure that what they're living in front of them is right. And I'm not saying they weren't living right, but I'm saying their influence and all their eggs they put in the basket is to try and say a lot when they could have just kind of pulled back and did a lot.
Right.
And in doing a lot, it would speak more than saying a lot. Now, that's what Brother Branham said. You know, our testimony, that we're written epistles read of all men, our testimony speaks louder than our words. And so we have little eaglets that we want to, as eagles, we want to be a good influence on them, teach them how to fly, teach them how to come out of the nest of the world. And from that degree, ultimately, it has to be God that does it, that He uses us as instruments. And so, you see, if the Word says that that's what we are, then that's what we are. Brother Ram tells us that there are imitators to the eagles that try to. A hawk, he talks about that. And he talks about how that even the Pentecostal groups, how they would get all excited and stirred up and jumping up and down and speaking in tongues and all that. We amen those things because they're serious gifts of that should be in the church. But Brother Ram is speaking of a people that could do that. He said, but they can't fly. He said, even if they did get up, they couldn't see. But they can't really fly up where that eagle can. And here's what Brother Graham said. He said, they can do all those things. They can shout, they can speak in tongues, and they can do all that. He said, but come to them and speak the word to them. And watch what happens. Mm-hmm. So you find out right quick that Brother Graham is telling us the soaring that we can do is the amen to the revealed word of the hour.
Yeah, right.
It's not, which I want us to have a rejoice. I want us to praise the Lord. We need two more. But it's not just in that. But it's in the amen to the word. Why? Because that is the very thing that's going to take you out there to begin with. So we don't want to be impersonators. We don't want it to go part way. We want to be able to go all the way. And you can't make yourself go all the way. You're just eagles and you will go all the way because your papa is dealing with you that way. And I find it interesting as I'm getting ready to close here, I find it interesting that in Proverbs 30, verses 18 and 19, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it. But Solomon says that there be three things that are too wonderful for me, four which I know not. Verse 19, the way of an eagle in the air. Still, it's an interesting little thing here because Solomon possessed a gift of wisdom. You know where he got that gift from? God. Solomon possessed a gift of wisdom that even the Queen of Sheba would come to him and tell her all that was on her heart, and she was absolutely just blown away by what he did and left more money, a gift to him, more money than the richest man on earth today.
Yeah. Right.
And one gift left for him. And all because of that gift, but Solomon said, even with that gift from Almighty God, who's allowed me to do all that, that gift won't let me understand how he will soar in the air. But you and I get to be that eagle. So you find out what I see there is that I see God holding that mystery, hiding that mystery of how He's going to get the eagles out there in the world. How does He put us out there? How does He get us to this place where we soar like Him? Yeah. It was a mystery to Solomon. But it's not to be a mystery to you and I. Why? Because at the end time, He reveals these things and He won't hide things from those that are close to Him, His friends. You know, he said to Abraham, will I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? No. If you walk with God, He'll tell you what He's going to do.
Amen.
And so you'll find out that Solomon might not have been able to understand that. There's several other things. He didn't understand how the serpent was on the rock or whatever. I'll just read it. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of the serpent on the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And ultimately, when I look at that, I think that there were certain things about Solomon. He didn't understand serpent. He didn't understand that. What maybe serpent seed, the serpent on the rock, he didn't understand that. But something about that, it was a mystery to him. He didn't understand the way of a man with a maid, the way of Christ with His church. There's things hid there that Solomon could not look into. And even Paul said he couldn't see it, just through a glass darkly. But it speaks of a time where we'd see face to face.
Yeah. Right.
If we're to be the bride of Jesus Christ, what is he going to hide from us? He's not going to hide anything of himself from us.
Yeah.
Right? He unveils himself totally to us.
Yeah.
What are we not going to know about him? What are we not going to know about what he's doing? Very little. Very little. We'll know as we are known. In other words, I can say to you right now, Sister Anna right here, the one who knows her more better than anybody else is God. And the scripture said the time would come when she would know as she is known. She would have perfect understanding of who she is because she would receive God's knowledge of that. And that's the way it is for all of us. Then that time which is perfect comes, there's something comes down and you and I begin to know as we are known. We begin to understand who we are because he knows us better. He wouldn't say, I'm going to let you know what Brother Daniel knows about you. Well, you know more about you than Brother Daniel does.
Right.
So when God says that, he's having it, he's telling you, you're going to know a higher knowledge of yourself and who you really are. You're going to see yourself in Jesus Christ. That's what the scriptures are telling us. And so you find out that these things were a mystery to Solomon. They're a mystery to the world. But they're not to be a mystery to you and I any longer. We will understand that because we will be that very expression of those things. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how we soar. I don't know how this works. But it does. It does work. We soar right out there into God's Word. And he does and gives us exactly the things that he said he would do.
Yeah.
And to that we are thankful. And so saints, eagles, it is eagle time. It is eagle time, and God will not deal with you any other way. So we might as well just set ourselves to thinking, you know what? I know when God begins to speak to my heart, I know what he's going to tell me. I know everything that he does for me is going to point me to the edge of that nest. Everything he does is going to push me a little bit further, to get me to go ahead and commit myself to the promise of the wind. Brother Branham, throughout all his sermons, he told so many times about that eagle he saw up there in the woods. And he said, you know that eagle, he said, he'd gotten blown down in a storm or whatever, and he said, I'm just going to mess with him a little bit. He said, he spoke to the eagle, said, don't you know I can kill you or whatever, and Brother Graham's gun was laying there. He said that eagle just kind of looked at him, said he wasn't afraid.
Right.
He said, but he looked at him and he said, well, he knows that God's in nature. God's out of nature. Let me believe that.
Right.
And he says, and I think we should do this. When we see something happen, what, God, you're in it somehow. We went to go bike riding yesterday. We got over there and they should have opened the gate to the vineyard. They didn't open the gate. And I pulled out and I said, there's a reason. There's some reason why that gate did not come open for us when it was supposed to. And we went to another location to bike ride. And so you find out that's the way it is. You get off and you see things happening. There's a reason why those things happen the way they do. And so God works in that way. And we just have to commit it to him. And I lost my train of thought of the story I had to begin with. But God works with us like that. And we just commit it to him and believe there's a reason for everything. Brother Bram said this eagle, he said he was looking out there, he's seen it, he said he sees God in nature, and so he's watching this eagle, and he said, okay, I know God's in this somewhere. And he began to watch, and he said, don't you know I can kill you? And he said, the eagle just kind of looked at him, said he wasn't afraid, so Brother Bram's looking for God, and what happened? He said, I got to notice him, and he said he was feeling of his feathers.
Yeah.
And he was working his feathers. Brother Bram realized him, and he said, there you are, Lord. There you are right there. So that eagle wasn't afraid of him because that eagle had faith in the wings that God had given him.
Amen.
And he knew, Brother Rince, he knew that he could just make, you know, he could be into those trees away from me faster than I could get to my gun. So he wasn't worried. He wasn't worried about that man who was there because why? Because he had wings and he knew he had wings.
Right.
And he could, and Brother Ram said he said he jumped off that limb and he said he made one flop, just one flop, and set his wings and then just went plumb gone. Now, What would that eagle do? He wasn't afraid because he knew all he had to do was just make one flop to commit himself to the wind. And once he committed himself to that wind, in that gift, that wind would pack him away from danger. You see, he had faith. And Brother Branham, all through his ministry, he just told that story over and over and over and over because he wants you to know. And I want you to know. You've got wings, saints. You've got them. But you have to make the choice. You have to have faith in those wings and make the choice on a daily circumstances, whatever, Sister Crystal, right now, with her situation, just set her wings and say, God, it's your promise. I'm just going to set my wings, and your promise, your wind, will pack me to safety.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And that's what we want to do. Amen. Let's bow our hearts and the musicians come. Brother Dan will come up here just a little bit and share with you. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to be in your image today, Lord, what you would have us to be. We want to be that great eagle that you talked about. We believe we are, Lord. We know we're in the nest of this world. We want to soar with you. And in Revelation, Lord, we confess, God, that you've done that many times with us. You've caused us to rise up in faith. And so we realize it's a daily walk, a daily battle. And Lord, we want to be. And we believe that you're just moving us that much further, that much closer, Lord, to that great day we're looking for. But I pray, God, that your people this morning, that those that are gathered here, that they'll be able to take these things that have been said and they look upon them and realize that you've truly identified them. You've come down in this day to bear them on eagle's wings, to deal with them as a mama or a papa eagle. I ask, God, for a special blessing upon them, Lord, that they would take these things that are said and see themselves in the Word and learn how, Lord, to set their wings of faith in thy promises. Lord, you'd pack them away from any situation that Satan would try to give them. You'd pack them to a place where nothing, no one, no enemy could follow them. Lord, we believe that's what you have for us. And ultimately, some great morning, Lord, our wings of faith will set one last time and you'll pack us away into another dimension. But until that time, Lord, I ask for your blessings upon this people. Lord, that they would gain victory day after day in their life, and they would see that you're dealing with them as Papa Eagle and Mama Eagle. We commit them into your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's just sing a little bit of a song here before we Brother Daniel would come up. And how many love the Lord? You believe he's dealing with you as an eagle? We want to fly, right? Amen. We can stand and worship just for a minute. Brother Kim.
So spread your we
like he said, you are. And he won't deal with you any other way. He'll deal with you in that fashion to make you fly. And he'll reveal to you what it is that you need to do. And we thank him for that. And we're going to go ahead, and you can be seated, and let Brother Daniel come up here in just a moment to tell you a little bit about our trip. And as I said, it was a wonderful trip. And what the Lord had put on my heart to do, God accomplished. And that was, I felt like that Brother Daniel would be a great blessing to them down there, and he was. And so I'm going to let him come and tell you what's on his heart about it, and then if there's something else that he hasn't covered that I feel like maybe I'd like to share with you, I will. We are thankful that God was moving, as I said, in a capacity that I wasn't necessarily expecting, but he was good to us. So, come on, brother.
God bless you. It's working. I think a lot of times I speak loud enough you can hear me anyway. I just want to say, Lord, thank you, everyone, for praying for us for the trip. It was a real blessing to go with Brother Tony. It's the most time I got to spend with Brother Tony on a trip, just the two of us. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a prayer for me. It really is. You catch little characteristics about people when you're around him very much. That's one thing I will say about him. He prays. He's a very, very prayerful man. A lot of times I'd wake up in the middle of the night, go rest him or something, he'd be in there praying. I'd say, that's my pastor. Mm-hmm. Amen. And, one of the things that I'd caught right off the bat on this trip, everything was just a blessing. I don't know if you fly very much, but the times I've flown, a lot of times you'll get on your plane, you'll sit there for 30 minutes, wait for them to board you on the plane, even after you're supposed to get there. Every flight was just as smooth as you've ever seen. Go inside there, and little things that maybe don't amount to much to some people, but every time I've ever flown, I've had other people have their baggage in my spot where I'm going to put my stuff at. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go all the way down the airplane, try to find a hole, and that's my hole. Well, sorry, someone took mine too, you know. But every time, no problem. I was able to stick my bag inside there. And that's a small thing, but you know, it's one of the many things I've seen to go through.
Amen, that's right.
And the fellowship was just wonderful. All the flight attendants were super, super nice, just in a really good mood. You know, that was our prayer, that God would touch the flight attendants. That was a blessing, you know. We got to the hotel where we were going to stay at. And we were expecting to stay with the brothers and the families. That's what I enjoy to do. But this time, at this occasion, he put us in a hotel room. And I'd prayed a little bit, studied in the room. And Brother Tony and I had prayed together. Well, I went into the living room area. And I was just going to lay on the couch, just kind of just meditate and just kind of talk to the Lord. And Brother Tony was in the other room. Well, I was laying there, and I just felt this presence just come across like a breeze, just come through. Like almost, well, that's the only way I know how to explain it. It's like a wind that come through there. And I felt a strong presence of like fixing to pray for somebody. Something, what is it, Lord? And I just began to pray. And as I begin to pray, I hear Brother Tony begin to pray in the other room. And he was in the other room. And to me, I thought that was just wonderful. It was simply wonderful. Because I had no idea that brother was going to pray. He didn't know I was going to pray. It was just, it was just like a breeze that come through. And so I felt pretty good about the upcoming service then, because I was kind of tired at first. And had that service on Saturday night, and it was pretty packed. And speaking to the young people, particularly, who they wanted to spend it to, but we just kind of committed it all to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, God had his way. He really did. The people were very receptive, and the faith in the building was wonderful. To the service, I could feel, and I was like, Lord, when should I close this? Because I don't want to miss this, because I feel their faith is really right now. And I was like, Lord kept laying some more things on my heart. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go a little further then. And so I go a little further, and the faith got stronger. I'm like, oh, Lord, this will be the time to pray right now. And I was like, but then I felt the Lord tell me, go a little further. So I was like, okay, but I don't want to go so far that their faith begins to drop. So just go a little bit further. And I noticed there's one boy in the back. He was sitting in the far back, and they said that they carried him inside the service. And I didn't see that part because I was in the study. But I noticed through the service, he was very receptive. I could tell there was something wrong with him physically. And through the whole service, he was just very receptive. And I got to the end of the service, and I told him, I said, if there's any that have not received the Lord into your life, I want you to come first. I said, because the Lord can heal you tonight. I said, I believe he will. I said, but I want it to, that's temporal. I said, you can die. You can die healed. But I want to know that you have eternal life. And I said, if there's any of you that want to receive the Lord into your life. And I'm telling you, people were just crying. And the front of the altar was just completely full. There's people crying out, receiving the Lord. And I don't even know how I got there, but the next thing I remember, I'm down here in the front of in the pulpit, and I'm down here praying for these people, and it's almost like I'm stepping back behind myself, looking at myself. I'm like, how in the world did I get down here? Well, I better get back to what I'm doing. Step back in there, and I'm just praying, and I tell you what, you feel faith, and people are just receiving the Lord in their life. It's going through, and I don't know how many there was. Brother Tony said there was something like 40 people.
Amen.
That had come, that received the Lord, and we prayed for them, and come to the top, and I start to go into the service, but I just feel like a tug. The Lord said, no, it's not time to end yet. You need to keep going. So I said, if there's anyone else that wants to come, there's still time. And people just start crying and start coming forward. Well, this boy, they carried him up to the front. And he was laying on the, and when they sat him down, he just laid down practically in front of the pulpit, like right here. And Billy Tony was kind of sitting over in the front. And I walked out there, and I just began to just pray for them. And I didn't think about his healing or nothing. I just started praying for him. That God would just heal him, touch his soul, touch all these things. I'm going to tell you something, Saints. That boy walked away.
Amen.
Yeah. The Lord absolutely healed him.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just give the Lord a hand. It was simply amazing. There was I know of another girl, a woman. She had a headache for 15 days, 14 or 15 days, just a migraine. It was just terrible. I guess she went to doctors and things, wouldn't do nothing for her, and prayed for her, and the Lord instantaneously just healed her. There were several other healings that they said they were going, but I don't want to try to make anything it's not. So I'd rather just not tell you about it if I don't know the real facts about it. But there were other healings that took place. The one that really stood out to me the most was the boy. Even after service, we were sitting here, and I noticed he was going through, and I'm kind of in shock still because of kind of what had happened, you know. And I'm sitting here with this Brother Tony and Brother David, and this boy is going through, and he's kind of like that, and he's moving. And I was like, wait a minute, that's the boy I prayed for. And it kind of hit me again. I was like, wow. And the brother spoke to me. He says, Brother Daniel, the Lord healed this boy. They said he had bad circulation in his leg, and he was just a boy from the town. And they said they'd seen him lots of times and invited him to come to church, but he never would come. And they said this time they told him, so there was a brother coming, Brother Daniel, and Brother Tony. They want you to come. And so they got him to come, and the Lord healed him. So we want to praise the Lord for that. I got some pictures if they'd like to bring them forward. Right off the plane, they feed you well. That's a fish. That's one of the fish. They brought us too. Well, we were sitting here eating this food, and we're going to eat before the service. Well, when they brought this, they said that, asking us what we want to eat, and me and Brother Tony, like, I don't know. We're good for anything, you know. And they said they're going to bring 8 pounds of fish to us, and we're going to split it between one another. And we said, what kind of fish it is? And they looked at me like I was just crazy, because I asked what kind of fish, because here we got perch, got catfish, and all these different things. They said, it's a fish. I don't know. That's fine with me. So they bring out all these different kinds of food, small portions of fish. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to be humble, because if anyone knows me, know I eat a lot of food. And so they're bringing this food, and I think I'm going to be conservative and try to watch what I do. So they're bringing this little bit portions of food, this little bit packets of fish, and I eat it just a little bit, and I'm trying to be humble with my brother Tony, because he's sharing with me. He's across the table from me. And we're sitting here eating this food, and he was beside you, I think. No, he was across from me. We were sitting here eating this food, and they brought another serving of food. And we're like, well, maybe that's the fish. So we go to eat a little bit of that, and then they brought this other meal. I'm kidding, like 4 or 5 times they kept coming with more of these different kinds of fish. And then they brought this. He said, oh, here comes the food, brothers. And they brought this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, that ain't 8 pounds of fish. I seen that. There's little bitty chicken nuggets and stuff. And I was like, well, I'll eat humbly with this stuff. And me and Brother Tony can pray later and fast, you know, because this ain't going to be 8 pounds of fish. There's no way. So we eat this food, and I'm actually getting pretty full. And then they said, we're going to bring the main entry, brother. Main entry? I thought that was the main entry. And Brother Dave said, no, brother, the 8 pound fish is coming. I said, oh, my. And I said, brother, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought they were jipping you, because I thought to myself, there ain't no way that's 8 pounds of fish. They brought this big thing out. There's two of them things. And it was good food, really good fellowship. Sister Diana wants me to give y'all sisters a very special greeting and say God bless you, and she really appreciates y'all coming. So you want to go to the next picture? This is when Brother Tony spoke. Brother Tony preached 2 services. It was on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and he kind of spoke on that walking with God. I want to tell you something. they were absolutely masterpieces. The way he had brought those things out of there, and people were very receptive over what they had. They were just in shock, like, oh my goodness. Brother David said, I want to get some of those quotes, brother. Those were wonderful. And so I'm going to go to the next picture if you'd like to. And not a very good picture, but this is one of the fellowships that we had. This is Brother Peter that's in the back. That's the one that interpreted for me. And this is Brother David, Leon in the front. He's the one that interpreted for Brother Tony. And both brothers, our characters and everything went perfect together as far as speaking together. Didn't have no struggles at all in interpreting. They just went right together. So we can go to the next picture. This is the sisters, and this is the special greeting to the sisters. So God bless you. That's for y'all. Go ahead and go to the next picture. And this is just a meeting afterwards, after that fellowship that we had. And go ahead and go to the next picture. This is the meeting outside. I was hoping the sister right here on the far left is the one that was healed by the headache. On the far left there. And you go ahead and get that right there. Yes, her right there. Yeah. And you go ahead and go to the next picture. Let's go and scroll through those. I had trouble with these, trying to get these on the computer and finally get them on there. How many is familiar with I stand at the door and knock? Isn't that what that looks like? Yeah. We're going by there through the community. I said, stop! I got to go here and look at this. And we should take a picture of that. And I had to do it. I stand at the door and knock. So. There was in this town here, he was the man that had started that little community there out where the horses, where the cabins. We're on our way to the cabin at this picture. And there was a man. We seen through the bill. He was 100 years old. 100-year-old man. And he was walking around just fine. Go to Tony. We're at the cabin here. Go ahead and go to the next picture. Go to David. This is the side of the cabin. As we were coming around the cabin, you talk about peaceful. The words can't justify the picture. You can go ahead and go to the next one. This is the picture he put. God's country on here. Well, I told him the story about Brother Forrest Farmers, but the pastor he knows of, he named his boat Witness, or Witness was the name of it.
Visitation.
He named his boat Visitation, so people would call and ask for the pastor, and the wife would say, well, he's out on visitation. Well, actually, he'd be out fishing, you know. Well, Brother David said he's going to take this sign down now, and he's going to put Visitation on that now. So he can go spend some time with fellowship. Go ahead and go to the next picture. This is just another picture of us brothers together. This is the front of the cabin. And when Brother David had this vision for this cabin, it was just healed. And I'm talking, people here would not even consider building on that. Whatever there, it was just straight up. And they literally, by hand and shovel, dug the place out of this mountain and put this cabin inside there. And so it was really nice. Go to the next picture. And as you can say, it wasn't all labors. I think Brother Tony did snore louder than I did. that was a really good time of fellowship. Just a picture of Brother Tony while we were there. And this is during the prayer service of that Saturday night. Those pictures are out of order. This is actually the first service here. We'll go to the next picture. And this is me and Brother Peter praying. Or preaching together. Yeah. So, the Lord really, really did bless the trip. A lot of times in like my Honduras trip, I have a photoist, I guess. Brother Paco's son and daughter love my camera. So they are always constantly taking photos. So if you ever wonder how do you have so many photos in Honduras, well, that's how. Because I have to literally filter through a lot of pictures before I get to some. So every part of this trip was absolutely blessed. It really was. There was one night I woke up so thirsty because you can't really, not supposed to drink the water from the faucet. They give you bottles of water. Well, I drink a lot of water, especially at nighttime. And so one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I was so thirsty. And I was looking around and my bottle was empty and I was like, trying to get every little drop I could. And I was like, Lord, I'm thirsty. And I said, fine. I said, I got to have me some water. So I went and drank me some water from the faucet. And I was afraid, And Brother Tony, he told me later on that he had heard the faucet come on. He said he thought himself, he's going to drink that water. So Brother Tony prayed for me too. So the Lord blessed the water. I didn't get sick. So. I'm going to praise the Lord on that. Well, on the way home, we were coming back. even as far as baggage, again, it was a smooth trip the whole way. Never had any problem with baggage, even all the way up to the point of entering Fort Smith, Arkansas. All these people that had their baggage up there waiting to claim their baggage. Me and Brother Tony were way back here. We're letting them, well, we have to wait just a little bit. No, that little carrier came up there. Out of all these bags, he opens up. He goes through there and he picks up Brother Tony's bag and Brother Daniel's bag. Brother Tony just looked at me, just smiled and said, "It's the Lord, brother." He just turned around and walked through all of his, excuse me. Here you go, brother. And we're like, thank you. Everyone's just kind of like, how did this happen? So it was a blessing. I do want to thank y'all for your prayers. I really do. I wish I could give a little bit better report and give, you know, God the justice that really he deserves, you know, of how good that really was. And I'll tell you what, Brother Tony was good to travel with. He really was. He got to fellowship a lot. And like I said, one of the biggest things I picked up from Brother Tony is he's a very prayerful man. And I appreciate that. I appreciate seeing that. You wake up and see someone else praying, you know, especially when you're in the same plane with them. You know, and Brother Tony mentioned something about, you know, any time that plane takes off or any time that plane lands, I can vouch for that. I'd look over and I'd see Brother Tony's head bow, and he'd be praying. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, Lord, I need some more of that on me, you know, because I feel like I lack in that part. But just want to say God bless you. We'll just welcome Brother Tony to come back. Back to that.
You know what Brother Branham said about a man, a great man is one that makes you feel great. Brother Daniel's good at that. But the Lord was good to us. And I appreciate Brother David being there on. The Lord just really opened up a camaraderie between he and I. And I think the Lord knew that, you know, what he had going and what was going to happen. And I felt I got to the place where I felt ashamed of not going down there and reciprocating the brother's request to come down and have meetings. And I really just had been felt to do it when we did, and I can see now that it was the hand of the Lord that we did. When we got there, and I didn't put any pictures in because I kind of got to look at what Brother Daniel was going to put up, and pretty much there's only one or two pictures I might would have shown, but how many remembers the little checks like you'd write that the voice of God put out and said, you know, it was from the Lord and you just put on there what you want. Mm-hmm. And I went into Brother David's office, pastor's study there, and he had one of those pinned up on the wall in there. And this is what it said. This is what he wrote. And it just really blessed my heart. His request on his check was to always have a loving and united flock. And I just, you know, I realized this man is, he is a pastor for his people. He really loves them. And so that really spoke to me. But like Brother Nino said, the trip went really smooth. There were things that happened that should have been hiccups and should have been problems, mostly on my part. But I know when we were going there, you're supposed to put on your immigration form where you're going to be staying. Well, I never got that information. Brother David forgot to give it to us. I didn't know what to do, so we approached the immigration desk with our forms without that on there. And that was the first thing the guy asked about. He said, where are you staying? I said, well, I'm not sure where it's at. I got a friend coming to pick me up at the airport. You know, and he could have, I've seen the way those guys are. Mm-hmm. And he could have really created problems for me and Brother Daniel both. But you never met a man any nicer.
Yeah.
And he said, well, he said, next time you come, make sure you have this filled out. He wrote on their Holiday Inn in the place. Didn't put an address. But there was another section there that neither Brother Daniel and I both had filled out that we were supposed to fill out. It was redundant information, and I thought it was for them to do. As it turns out, we didn't have... So we really didn't have our forms filled out. He could have really run us out of town on a rail, so to speak, but he didn't. He said, he told me to fill this part out, and he went to Brother Daniel and had him, and then he just took the time while we were standing there at the desk with all these people lined up, and I'm, you know, we're filling this out together. He takes the time, and he goes back, and he's talking to, you know, telling all the people, making sure they had what they needed, rather than getting all bent out of shape. And he just, you know, not even a problem. And even the woman there, where we push the button, you go up there and they want to x-ray your bags. And you go up there and you show her your paperwork, and she has a button, and you have to push this button. It's a counter, you count how many people come through. And you put your bags on this x-ray machine, and it goes through. And I went to put my stuff on there, and she said, no, you could go. So we bypassed that portion and went right on out into where the demon was at. And then on my way back into the airport, I'll have a bad problem about doing this. I'll get a bottle of water, and I will say, I'm going to drink this before I get to the airport. And I forget. And you're not supposed to run through that x-ray, but through security with it. They won't let you do it. Well, I forgot, and I went through the security, and they put my bag through the x-ray and come out the other side, and the guy's standing there looking at me, real polite, but he asked me something, and I said, English. He said, do you have water? And as soon as he said that, I'm, oh, no, I have water in that bag. And because I did that here in Fort Smith one time, and this guy here was very hideous toward me because of it. And I zipped it out and handed it to the guy, and he looked at it, and he said, would you like to have it? They don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't do that. If anybody's flown, they don't do that. I said, if I can. He said, just be sure and drink it before you get on the plane. Now, that was unheard of to me.
Yeah.
So, maybe they're a little bit different down there, but, and so anyway, we needed help on when we got there, and we were trying to figure out, here was these doorways, and they all had, this goes here, and this goes here, but when you look beyond there, they all go down one hall. And we're like, well, it's the same hall, but does it matter which door I go through? We'll come to find out they got little counters on the other side, and you need to go because they want to count, but, so we're going through there and trying to figure out where to go, and some guy comes by wheeling somebody on a wheelchair. He's Spanish, but he looks over and tells us, remember, brother, he tells us where we need to go. And same way, when we had gotten our tickets and needed to find how to get to our gate, and we went all the way to one end, all the way to the other, coming back or whatever, and I just said, Lord, you're going to have to help us. And it wasn't 3-4 seconds from that. Brother Daniel said, hey, let's ask this guy right here. Let's see if we can talk to him. And the man said, Peter, what'd you do? So the Lord was very good to us. And I will say that, like I said, there were some healings that took place. I spoke to the married couples on Sunday afternoon. And I just spoke what the Lord put on my heart. Brother Daniel was telling me that day or the next day, I don't remember, but after that, he said, Brother Tony, he said, that was discernment. I don't know what he's talking about, but he said, I spoke to one of the men and one of the brothers there in the church, the night before, and he was telling me about situations he was dealing with in his marriage. Well, Brother Daniel didn't tell me nothing about it, but the Lord turned around and come back and ministered right back on that situation to him, to the man. And so that's what we thank the Lord for doing. And then I guess one of the last things I was going to mention, I had asked my wife to go to the bank and get some money to finance the trip, or any expenses we'd have along the way. And I told her exactly how much to give. And then when we got ready to leave Brother David's house the night before, this is really strange. I don't know why the Lord did this, because we expect to go down there to support any problem, any money for whatever. But he wanted to give me an offering. And so I said, Brother, you don't have to give me that. He said, no, I want you to have it. Turns out the offering was in U.S. dollars. I didn't even have to transfer it. But it was exactly to the penny what I asked my wife to get out of the bank to cover the trip. And so, everything along the way. The planes, I've been on those trips, and they're always just jam-packed full. This time they weren't. There was actually empty seats. And Brother Daniel, I could have went to other places where there were three seats and laid down if we wanted to, but we chose to stay together in the fellowship. But the Lord just blessed every bit of the way. And Brother Daniel's ministry was a tremendous blessing to them. And that's really what I wanted to do, is to get Brother Daniel introduced to them. And the Lord moved, and I, like I said, answered so many prayers to a lot of people.
And so the sisters and the brothers and sisters down there, they're very thankful. And there was a greeting. I don't know if you wanted that to play or
if y'all
want to try and pull it up there. The sisters sent back a greeting to the sisters just a little bit there. And we'll close. But the Lord is really good to us all. When you come to Saltillo, which is the city we were in, about a million people there, give or take a little bit, that they hope to see you, sisters. She's speaking specifically of Sister Nikki. You heard them call her name. So anyway, we thank you for allowing us to go. I think the Lord will continue to be a blessing to those people. And the fivefold ministry that we need up here, they need it down there also. And so that's what we want to do. And I want in this church, as far as the missions is concerned, I want to support missions right out of this church first. And, you know, I'm not saying we won't support other missionaries. We plan to do that too. But I want to support local missions first. And Brother Daniel's fixing to go on another trip, and we want to support him in that with our prayers. With financing, we will help him with that also to whatever degree he needs. But I want to ask the church to continue to be in prayer for him. It's not going to be like what you just saw. It's totally different. Mm-hmm. And so, Brother Daniel will be sleeping in places where there's probably scorpions and all kinds of stuff. But it's in his heart to do it. And it's in his heart to go to the places where what few ministers do get to come, they usually get some of the places that are close to the airport, probably. But Daniel's going to be going out into the mountains and places that he's going to be gone about 17 days. And they will preach him until he won't have anything left, probably. So I mean, we'll promise that you'll keep him supported with your prayers. And the Lord will do great things. I know that. Because that's just the hour we live in. That's the kind of ministry that the Word brings. That's the kind of ministry Brother Daniel has. And he will do some great things. So we expect that there will be some testimonies. Amen. Let's all stand. We want to just close in prayer. Maybe Brother Tim can come up with a closing song if we prepare to dismiss you. And we love the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, to be a Christian in this hour, we don't want to count it as a light thing. It is a tremendous thing, Lord. Not just a so-called Christian, but someone who truly has been touched by you, Lord, that's truly feasting on the words that come through the Son of Man ministry. And Lord, you said in your word that where the carcass is, that's where the eagles will be gathered. And Lord, every time we come to service, on service time, we see that's exactly what takes place. Your eagles come to feast upon your word. And Lord, I believe they're happy to do that. They're happy to walk in this great message that you've given this hour. And Lord, no, I know it's such a battle for them, but Lord, I believe they embrace that battle and they want to continue to walk with you. They want to even be even more victorious, Lord. And I believe you've committed that to us that we can do that. And as an assembly, Lord, that we can be, as Brother David had mentioned, a loving and a united flock. I believe, Lord, that you have prepared that for us and that we can be that. And then, Lord, we can reach out to other assemblies and other nations, Lord, with the same ministry that you've given here, we can touch their lives also. Lord, that we can all be members of that great body, your body that's scattered across the earth. Lord, we thank you. We trust, Lord, and look forward to that time that you'll get us all together in a place where there will be no language barriers. There will be no tired bodies from plane flights and from traveling. Lord, we'll all be there with each other, with those we love, those that we've come to know on this side. And Lord, we'll be united
and have an affinity with each other throughout eternity. How we look forward to that, and we thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that being that that's the way it will be on the other side, that you would give us the ability on this side, Lord, to realize that, that the people we walk with, whether we see eye to eye with them or not, they are brothers and sisters, and we will spend eternity together. So, Lord, may we on this side learn to love and to get along and to exhort one another in the gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
All is